This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
To another edition of What's on Your Mind, another hour underway. This one, the weekly talk radio town hall with Senator Kevin Cramer. I cannot emphasize enough what an opportunity this is for you, the listeners. There are not many places in the great United States of America where people can pick up the telephone, ask their senator anything they'd like to ask, and have that kind of access once an hour every week. We sort of take it for granted now because we've been doing it for so long. But, you know, people very often will come up to me and they'll grab me by the shirt sleeve and they'll say, boy, do I like that you know, Kevin Cramer comes on for a whole hour and takes anything that comes at him, and they really appreciate it. So take advantage of it. If you have a question, a comment, you're trying to get to the bottom of something, let us know on the program today. Senator Cramer is here. Happy Friday, sir.
Hey, happy Friday to you. Happy Sittendamai to all of the Norwegian Americans listening.
Yes, we're doing all Norwegian bumper music today. Just
are
so you know.
Really? Oh,
yes.
Cool.
Celebrating the big day. Yep,
the
exactly.
Big day, yeah. You know, it's funny. This is really a sidebar, but, you know, Chris and I went to Norway a couple of years ago, as you know, and like you, it's impossible not to fall in love with that country when you get there. But one of the thrills for me was when we went to the cemetery that's just a couple of blocks from the farm that my great-grandfather came from, the Eldon Farm. Anyway, we were at the cemetery, and there at the very top of a very high, very old monument that were the listed the names of all of the area veterans that fought in the War of Independence for Norway was my great-great-great-grandfather's name right at the very top of the monument. It was really very cool.
Wow, that is amazing.
Yeah.
That is the stuff. I mean, family and connecting and finding those roots. And, you know, yeah, we've now connected with Maria's cousin, so they're coming back here, you know. And it's just
awesome.
Exchanging visits. We're going again on June 15th. So Carol Juven got us all hooked up just like he did you and the family. Very, very, very good time. Nobody better, by the way, to get you there and to see what you need to see in Norway. We're going to northern Norway this year, so up the Lofoten Islands, which is supposed to be one of the hot spots now where people go. So,
yep.
And we'll be there when the midnight sun is on, so really looking forward to it. But today we celebrate Sittendamai Day, and we have a little Sittendamai music for you. We have a little bit of breaking news here, which is kind of nice. It has just broken in the ag world. Japan has agreed to lift its restrictions on American beef imports, a move that will now fully open up the market for U.S. producers. That's from Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue today. The new terms, which take effect immediately, allow U.S. products from all cattle, regardless of age, to enter Japan for the first time since 2003. The secretary suggested the agreement was confirmed last week on the sidelines of the G20 Ag meeting in Japan. The further opening of the Japanese market comes after more than 15 years of some restrictions on American beef. In 2003, Japan, of course, banned U.S. beef and beef products following the detection of the BSE deal in the U.S. Later, Japan restored limited access. Since 2013, Japan has allowed imports of beef and beef products from cattle less than 30 months of age. In recent years, however, Japanese food safety authorities have been softening on their age restrictions, so the USDA estimates this new access could increase U.S. beef exports to Japan by up to $200 million a year. That's the news story. What do you think of that?
Well, it's, you know, we love all good news stories, and this is one that is very good news for cattle producers, obviously. I think North Dakota ranks number 14 in beef exports. Obviously, it's an important part of our agricultural culture and makeup and economy. And to me, Scott, so it, not only does it represent an obvious good news story just for beef producers and for the U.S. in general, but it's got that cumulative effect, because Japan is somebody, of course, we've been in bilateral negotiations with now on a bigger trade deal. And every time you get a little victory like this, it, I think it has a synergistic impact on the overall trade story, not just with Japan, but everybody else. But it remains difficult. Japan remains somewhat difficult because they do have larger tariffs on U.S. beef than they do with other countries, particularly Australia. And so, but it opens the market wide open for us now, and we're working with them on reducing the tariffs as well. And hopefully, Japan becomes an even larger trading partner. They're already a pretty big trading partner for North Dakota and for the U.S. in general, but they represent a whole bunch of opportunity. But the other thing to remember about Japan is, is where they're situated. And as we think about things like, the Asian Rim in general, the Pacific, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which the U.S. could not have passed TPP. We could not have passed. I was undecided on it myself. I was skeptical of TPP, a very multinational trade deal designed somewhat, of course, to block China. These bilateral deals can have that same impact one at a time. So, no, this is a very good news story. And we're just sort of reading about it, just as you are. We just received the word of it, earlier this morning. And look forward to continuing to work toward even bigger and better things.
Sonny Perdue, on his recent trip here with you and Senator Hovind, talk a little bit about Japan as a market, and obviously it seems to me to be really going bending over backwards here to just open up as many markets as possible, and I guess lessen the pain points a little bit of some of these other trade deals. But this is another example of the administration just doing things that have been stuck for a long time, isn't it?
Oh, it is. And some people have been critical of the administration for taking on so many of these things. I think about somebody like Bob Lighthizer, the U.S. Trade Representative, or Greg Dowd, who's very familiar to people in the ag world in North Dakota. Greg is a small grains guy from Kansas. He's the lead agriculture negotiator on the USTR trade team. These guys are traveling the world constantly, and when they're not traveling the world's coming to them in Washington, and they have many balls in the air. But I think you're starting to see with some of these things is some breakthroughs. The other big one, of course, besides Japan that we're involved with is the European Union, and then obviously the USMCA, the US-Mexico-Canadian Agreement. And we are starting to see movement in all of those areas to the positive. That the president has really hung in there with agriculture, with the European Union. As you know, they want to negotiate this trade deal with the United States, but they don't want agriculture to be part of it. And so far, the president has put his foot down and said, no, if we're going to discuss trade with the European Union, agriculture is going to be a part of it. And now, I don't know that we're seeing a real softening from the European Union on it, but the European Union does want to move forward with trade discussions. So clearly with that restriction in mind, they still want to talk. So, I think it's just one more bit of good news in a time when there's otherwise some pretty tough news, right, Scott? I mean, we want to be honest that the deal with China is not going as quickly as a lot of us had hoped, or the president for that matter. But he's in it to win it, and we want him to win it. And the best thing in the long run for the United States of America, including the American farmer, is to win a major trade war with China and get the kind of concessions that we need so that they don't take over agriculture in the United States in 10 or 20 years, like they can with several other industries. So, the president's fighting the good fight.
What is the current status now of this sort of pause that's happening right now? You had a week ago when the president was saying, hey, you know what, heck with them. We're just going to load up the tariffs, and we'll take the tariff money and help farmers by buying things. And that was one idea, but it seemed as though what was going on was obviously a reaction to them reneging on a deal, which obviously ticked the president off. Then the temperature came down a little bit, and it was sort of a pause. Where are we at?
Yeah, so it's a good question. So what happened was not only were they reneging on a deal, that they had canceled their last trip. And when the president, fought back hard by slapping on tariffs on another $200 billion worth of imports, they quickly changed their mind, and they did send their delegation to Washington after saying that they weren't going to, including the vice premier. So their top negotiator came to Washington. what the status now, and it is sort of always moving, but the most recent status that I know of is that the United States delegation is now preparing, at least preliminarily preparing for another trip to Beijing. So that's encouraging. And then, of course, President Xi and President Trump are planning to meet in Japan at the G7 summit, I believe it is, in June. And so it feels like it's sort of back on track with a clearer understanding. I think one of the things to be encouraged by, too, is while the president's $200 billion worth of, or tariffs on $200 billion worth of products, I'm sort of shocked the world, it did get them back in the game, and Japan hopefully further convinced that the president's not going to roll over and let them continue business as usual as previous presidents have done. But their retaliation announcement was interesting in that it was, you know, retaliating on $200 billion with $60 billion and a deferred tariff. So I think the president's premise that they've got more to lose than we do is starting to be proven out, just how, you know, just how China's responding.
Short break, back with more with Senator Kramer. Your questions, comments, welcome to. Brought to you in part today by Go Wireline. Williston, Dickinson, you call, they go. Simple as that. They've been at this a long time, but 200 years of combined experience. GoWireline.com. More with Senator Kramer on the way.
Welcome to Soybean Minute, your source for timely soybean news.
I'm North Dakota Soybean Council Director Dan Mocker-Braddock. As farmers prepare for another growing season, give your diesel some thought with a few helpful tips. First, tank maintenance is important. Water is the number one cause of diesel problems, leading to tank corrosion, bacteria, fungus, and icing in cold temperatures. Check your tanks for water before you get started. If water is found, have it removed. Keep caps tight and regularly check for leaks. Keep your tank full to prevent excess air, which can lead to condensation and fuel degeneration. Second, take advantage of biodiesel, made from soybeans and other plant oils. Provides lubricity, higher cetane, and it's renewable. Biodiesel blends from up to 20% can be used in any diesel engine. Ask for a B20 blend on your next on-farm fuel delivery. For questions about biodiesel, visit biodiesel.org.
This message is brought to you by the North Dakota Soybean Council and the Soybean Checkoff.
For a few years, you've heard me talking about every day made better. I live it. In a hot spring spa from Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables 2, Vince Webker, the owner, is here. So, Vince, I'm telling you, nobody should go through a winter like this without a hot tub, a sauna from Hot Spring Spas.
Well, nobody should go through life without a hot tub or a sauna. It actually makes you live better, possibly live longer. It corrects your wellness sins. You do things better by sitting in a hot tub or a sauna daily than you do without, because it does some stuff to the body that we could get into technically. But as I always say, it makes you physically better, mentally better, relationally better. To go through life without one, I think is tough, especially in the Western Hemisphere, where we're 25% more stressed out this year than we were last year, and it's just a way of life. And this thing is a true blue stress reliever.
And great financing right now. 60 months, no interest, 5 years, and you don't make your first payment for 6 months. Plus 12 months, no interest, no payments. That's another option. Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables, too, online at hotspringnb.com.
Age-related macular degeneration is the leading cause of blindness in people over 55. But with treatment, it can be slowed down, stopped, and in some cases, reversed. Make sure you see your grandchildren grow. Protect your vision by requesting information about diagnosing and treating AMD. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS for a free packet on reversing or managing AMD. Or go to the website fightblindness.org, where I found so much helpful information. Or again, call 1-800-BLINDNESS today.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at readytoeatbacon.com. Readytoeatbacon.com.
Okay, so we got a little traditional in there. We got a little old school or new school or whatever else that was.
Random hot mix.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. Very good. Very good. There you go, folks. Hey, next week we're going to be in Minot. hosted by the Farm Credit Services of North Dakota folks. Claude Sam up there, the CEO. Aaron Vetter from Farm Credit Services of Mandan's coming up. The AgriBank Farm Credit Bank CEO, Jeff Swanhorst. They're there to announce $4 million, the latest in the grants in that $4 million that have gone so far since 2012 in the Rural Community Grant Fund. They do it for Bakken-impacted communities. And about 250 awards made so far, and affordable housing, emergency services, medical facilities do a lot of really neat things. So tell you more about that. Next week we'll be live Wednesday on What's On Your Mind. 21 past the hour, continuing on with a Senator Kevin Cramer today. A couple more questions from yours truly, and then I'm going to welcome yours folks as well at 800-228-0550. Just getting to the news we all been watching very closely, and that is related to the trade deals and where we're at. So you updated us on China. I want to ask you quickly about NAFTA, or now called the USMCA, the new NAFTA. Vice President Pence was here last week, clearly to pressure Congressman Peterson. He talked about Congressman Peterson at the event and said, we need him to pressure Pelosi. We've got to get a vote on this. Have we made any progress on that?
Well, you certainly can't accuse the vice president of being subtle about his pressure on Colin. I was, you know, he's generally a pretty gentle guy, but he was pretty direct. There was some pretty good news that came out of a meeting that the president had, or maybe it was a meeting that among the Democratic leadership, and the news that came out of that was, what appeared to be quite a softening by Speaker Pelosi and even Leader Steny Hoyer on bringing the USMCA up for a vote, or at least that they were feeling like they were being heard. They felt, I think the news came out of a meeting between them and Bob Lighthizer and his response to sort of Democratic demands. Now, the one thing that Democrats keep demanding, which they know is impossible, is to reopen the deal and renegotiate some of these things related to labor issues and drug pricing. Well, you can't reopen the deal. That's part of the TPA, or the Trade Promotion Authority. You don't reopen the deal. You vote up or down. But you can do certain things within your own, you know, laws to protect certain things. And some of what they're demanding, Mexico and Canada have actually done, particularly related to labor. So, but they came out of that quite bullish and quite optimistic. I also sense, Scott, that they're feeling a fair bit of pressure from what I call the normal caucus, those 30 or 40 Democrats who won in Trump districts, who cannot win re-election on the Ocasio-Cortez Omar agenda. And so, there's been some movement. There's also been tremendous movement just in the last week between U.S., Canada, and Mexico on the removal of tariffs on steel and aluminum imports, which, as you know, has been a real sticking point not only for Mexico and Canada, but for many, including Republican members of Congress.
Let me just interrupt you there and let you know that Bloomberg is just now reporting that those will be lifted, steel and aluminum tariffs on Canada and Mexico. I'm not sure if they're saying when, but they are saying they will be lifted. It should make passage easier.
Yeah, no question. And that's good. And those other countries needed that to do it, and as did we. So that's great news. Yeah, there's been a lot going on last week. You know, Chrystia Freeland, who is their Canada's main trade representative, came to Washington. I think it was Wednesday. Tuesday, Justin Trudeau and Vice President Pence had a long phone conversation. The week before, President Trump and Prime Minister Trudeau had a long phone conversation. So that's very encouraging. Again, these are all momentum builders. Every time you have one of these things happen, you have the Japan beef thing happen, these are all momentum builders, and it should be good for the markets, hopefully.
Okay, let's spend a couple minutes on trade aid and whether or not as we go into the next round, and obviously it looks as though the negotiations with the Chinese are going to take longer, the president's talked about a $20 billion fund. Last time it was a $12 billion fund, I believe. Is it your view that we should do what we did before related to assisting farmers in this bridge?
Well, they're working quickly to come up with some sort of a program. I'm frankly interested in what producers have to say about it, because as you remember, in the $12 billion package, they included three tranches. One was very appropriate, money being used for enhanced trade promotion or trade activity. I don't know whether that continues to be necessary or not. One was, of course, direct payments, and that was the one that paid farmers who had crops in the bin had made their planting decisions, already harvested, and they came up with a formula to determine how much they should get paid in addition to whatever the price might be for it while they're negotiating. The other one is a food purchase where the government would purchase the food, use it for USA aid. I personally like that of the three, but the thing that we have to look out for is what decisions would have the worst or the most consequence on market forces. So what you don't want to do is you don't want to stymie or manipulate the market and distort price and distort supply and demand and all of those things. And so the reason I like to purchase the food is because that's why farmers grow it, is for it to be purchased and for people to be fed with it. It has the additional value of the aid itself, the humanitarian value. It has diplomatic value to the United States. Feeding hungry people around the world is what our farmers want to do. So I've always sort of liked that process. Some people are asking for an early announcement of how it's going to be, and first of all, don't know, and second of all, some farmers are still making planting decisions. That's what distorts markets, is when the government says, hey, if you're growing this crop, you're going to get this kind of a payment. Well, everybody rushes and grows that crop. That's what gets us into trouble when we oversupply. And the markets themselves have a tendency to do that, which is why they're so cyclical, without the government having to, intervene even further into that. So, but I'm interested in what producers have to say. What would you like to say? I suppose it depends on what your bins are full of, but I've intervened already asking the USDA to consider additional crops, maybe all crops, but as you probably know, canola growers in North Dakota were left out of the last go around, and the formula was dependent on certain things, and then we're just asking them to consider more things in the formula, because even if there's not a direct correlation to, say, China and a commodity, it does have market implications for all of the commodities. So we are asking them to broaden their scope a little bit.
Yeah, I'm a big canola person, not because I have any skin in the game as far as growing it. I just like looking at it. It makes North Dakota beautiful, and we're tops in it, for crying out loud. So that was good to hear.
Right.
Only about a half a minute before the break, but I do want to ask you, this is appropriate aid, isn't it? I mean, if the farmers are sort of in the crosshairs and China's doing this on purpose, then there should be something that recognizes they're taking the gut punch for the country as a whole to be better off with trade aid. So A, you agree it's the right approach to do something. B, how do you do it without distorting prices and distorting the market?
It's not unanimous, but I do agree with it, because even beyond what you said, the government, our government, bears some responsibility for this situation. Farmers have enough uncertainty with, price, obviously, weather, all the things that farmers, take into consideration when they take that risk every spring, without having the government itself. But they're in it to win it. The president's in it to win it. Yes, it's entirely appropriate that the government would step up and help them through the rough patch.
Take a short break.
A good trade deal.
Yeah, no kidding. One at a time. Get them done. Knock them down. Let's go continue with more and more conversation. Your calls, questions, comments for Senator Kevin Cramer. Welcome at 800-228-0550.
Ethanol is important to agriculture and all of North Dakota. Jody Hoff, Richardton, North Dakota, tells us about the community impact from the Richardton Ethanol Plant.
It's been a fantastic impact. The whole region of North Dakota seen corn acres increase, simply put, a lot over the last 10, almost 12 years since Red Trail's been operating. High percentage of their distiller's grain is in the wet or modified form, which is shipped, directly from the plant to feedlots for cattle feed. And in this part of North Dakota, that's a big deal. When you look at corn, and basically you look at the corn basis, we have a nice low basis here in Richardton for where we're at, western North Dakota. Yes, we're getting top dollar because of the low basis, and we have the benefit of only trucking it maybe 5, 10, 30 miles if you're, happen to be that close to Richardton. But guys definitely come from 100 miles away too.
Ethanol and agriculture are one, and building better communities like Richardton, North Dakota. Find out more at ndethanol.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes. Attorney General William Barr saying the Justice Department's just begun probe into the origins of the Russia investigation will determine whether government officials abused their power, putting their thumb on the scale. Barr telling Fox News answers to questions he's asked of investigators so far have been inadequate.
I think there's a misconception out there that we know a lot about what happened. The fact of the matter is Bob Mueller did not look at the government's activities. He was looking at whether or not the Trump campaign had conspired with the Russians, but he was not going back and looking at the counterintelligence program.
The U.S. has imposed sanctions on a Chechen group and five people, including at least three Russians, for alleged human rights abuses, and now the Kremlin says it will respond in kind, but it's not yet been specific. And this is USA Radio News.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities, or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE5W30. Get a $100 travel reward credit with a full synthetic oil change through October 31st, 2019. Terms apply. Visit Pennzoil.com/travel on.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need.
Won't you stop your crying? I know that you're trying. Everything's gonna be okay.
Alexa, play Maren Morris.
Okay.
Oh,
get unlimited access to over 50 million songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, gosh.
All right, here we go. We're live back on What's On Your Mind. That was a very famous Norwegian piece and that you may not have heard of before. It was called Silence. I've never heard of that piece before, but it does... When you have so much beauty like you do in Norway, you can get by with just having total quiet and looking around and seeing all that beauty. So that was a
when you go to the fjords, that's the sound you hear.
Yeah, exactly. That's a beautiful sound. So anyway,
for those of you that don't know, that's called spin.
Yeah, that's a lot of fake news is what that was right there. That was a little bit of fake news for you, and just meant Todd had to step away, and so did Kevin, and so we didn't have... We'll fix this. We'll finish strong with some great Norwegian music coming up as we celebrate Sitna Maya Day on What's On Your Mind. By the way, we're brought to you by MyPillow. A two-pack of MyPillow premiums for only $69.98 are yours. That's only $34.99 a pillow, the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. This offer is only at MyPillow.com or call 800-506-9028 and use the promo code Scott. All right, a couple things that have come up previously that I want to get to on the program, and these are questions that had come in that we did not get a chance to either relay the answer for or that we didn't even get a chance to ask you to that have come in multiple times. We said, we promise we will do it today. So Senator Kramer here to answer those, and if you have any others, 800-228-0550. Ask Kevin about the land inheritance tax. Where are we at with that? My wife and I are thinking about selling land that my family has paid taxes for years on. Thank you.
If I understand the question right, I mean, I sort of chuckle there and say that we've paid taxes for years on it. That there's a point in that question put that way, obviously. So it's a little unclear, but let me... You mentioned inheritance and then to sell that. So a couple of possibilities. You know, when we did the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act last year, we did it double the estate tax threshold from $5.5 million to $11 million, I believe is what it was. And so that a married couple then needed to be able to give $22 million to their kids without the tax ramifications. And that was $11 million for a couple before. And, you know, it was up to me. And in fact, in the House, we just eliminated it, the inheritance tax altogether, but, that didn't fly in the Senate. And that's not to say it was a Senate problem so much as it's just a scoring problem. But $22 million for a couple is a pretty high threshold. Now, if they're referring to the sale of the property and they've been a resident for like, two of the last 5 years, the individual would not pay any capital gains on the first $250,000 of profit, and if it's, again, a married couple, that would be doubled to $500,000, if that's what Dr. Buffett is talking about, capital gains. But you can only take advantage of that, like, once every couple of years. There was the other issue, there was more of a real estate, I think, tax issue, that got some of the high tax states a little bit upside down, but that was on, I think, up to $10,000 of property that can be deducted each year. So anyway, and then there's the interest deduction, or the mortgage interest, but I don't imagine, I don't get the sense that's what the question was about. So it's most likely about the death tax, which we did double the threshold, and I think that kicked in this year, so.
All right, let's go to Gary and Napoleon. You're next on What's on Your Mind, Gary.
Yes, I'd like to ask the senator about what's currently going on in Guam. I have a brother that's working over there, and I think I'm under the understanding that some of the installation, the military installation stuff that's at Okinawa, is being redone in Guam. And I was just wondering what he knows about it, and that's all I have. Thank you.
I would have to get more information on that, Gary, to be honest with you. Now, yeah, we clearly are hearing rumblings. Guam is a very both strategic and been friendly, but a lot of things have been in motion, obviously. But Guam is a very strategic place for our military. So beyond that, I'd have to wait for some more information to get back to you, Gary. And if we can get it before the end of the show, great. If not, Scott, let's put this on one of those things to address, because it is active. And as you probably know, I mean, we have, as a North Dakotans, a pretty strong interest over there. Our B-52s from Minot, spend a lot of time flying out of Guam on various missions, and I'm careful because some of those missions are public, some of them are not, but some of them are classified. But beyond that, Gary, I'd have to get more information to let you know more specifically what's going on in the context of Okinawa and other areas. We are, you know, there are less friendly places, of course, and we're always trying to balance all of that for the benefit of our national defense.
Well, I look forward to more information. Thank you.
Thanks, Gary. Appreciate it. Here's a call. This is actually a question that came in earlier, and we had not got to the answer, I believe, or hadn't got to the question, I forget which. Ask Kevin why transfers from 401k or IRA to HSA accounts without penalty is limited to only once per lifetime. No reason it shouldn't be allowed annually. My health care package should include that.
So, now I'm going to have to reach back a little ways on this one. So, and just for clarification, I think we all know what a 401k is, IRA, individual retirement account, HSA is health savings account. And what I believe that refers to is during, I think this too was part of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. Not sure. It might have been another bill, but what we did was we wanted to create an opportunity for HSAs to be sort of jump started. So a lot of people through the Obamacare sort of saga, you know, weren't able to take advantage of a health savings account, particularly if they had a major illness or major health costs that they anticipated that would be in the short run. And so there was an allowance, a one-time allowance for people to move money tax-free from their tax-deferred, say IRA, which is tax-deferred, into the health savings account, which of course is tax-free. And so that was provided as a one-time opportunity to fill their HSA a little bit and be able to utilize it tax-free. You could see, and I'm open to discussion, but just as I'm stating it like that, I am reminded of the concern that would allow if you could do IRA funds transferred every year or more often than the one time, you create sort of a tax shelter for people to move their deferred taxes into a tax-free, so you wouldn't. What we want with health savings accounts is for people to invest in them every year or on a regular basis. That's the point of a health savings account as opposed to an IRA. So, you could be just moving money around and gaming the system a little bit. And I'm a little bit loose as I think out loud this way, but But that's why I think the frustration is that I get why you'd love to be able to do it every year, but the point of it was to, you know, take advantage in the short run of what will be a long run planning mechanism and not have a perverse incentive to move money from deferred to tax-free accounts too easily. But I'm open and flexible to it myself, but I'm just sort of reiterating what I recall through the history of that whole process.
258-0550-701, 258-0550, or 800-228-0550. You can also text us, 701-367-2054 is mine, or 226-8503 is Todd's. Let's see here. Lots of texts. Let's get a few of those in. Ask Senator Kramer if he believes abortion should be allowed in the cases of rape and incest. This, of course, in the news because of Alabama this week. Your take on that, on the exceptions.
Sure. So let me back it out a little bit and say this. I mean, I think every increment we can make in law to save more babies is good. I don't vote against bills that move the ball in the right direction. So if rape, incest, you know, save the mother's life, although I think save the mother's life has always been a bit of a, you know, irrelevant because that's never been the case. Doctors can always save a life. That's the whole point of banning abortion, is to save lives. And so, you know, self-defense is always allowable. But rape and incest, those exceptions, I've never had a problem having those exceptions in an abortion bill or a pro-life bill. We're so far from getting from that point at this point that I believe that any movement in the right direction, including late-term abortion, you know, there were some people who thought we could never pass a bill to outlaw partial birth abortion, but thanks to the tenacity and persistence of the pro-life movement and certain members of Congress who got to that point, that the most recent attempts at banning late-term abortion have come up short, and it's no small reason why I'm a United States Senator today. And so I'm for all of those things.
Are you saying you wouldn't high-five Chuck Schumer? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, well, I'm saying that for sure. But to be fair to the person's question, and I think they're saying, would you support legislation that didn't include those exceptions? And I would support legislation that includes them or doesn't include those exceptions. So a life is a life. In taking one is, you know, not preferable to being able to save that life. That's not to minimize the trauma or the, but I also think it gets to be overplayed because it's not very often that those things happen. And I'm for moving the ball as far as we can to the right, you know, to the right spot, Scott, if that makes sense.
Scott in North Dakota for Senator Kevin Kramer. Are you there, Scott?
Oh, yeah. I'm also as pro-life, and that's great, great, great. The question I have is, when it comes to USDA reporting, is why can't the government use some of our actual production history and our actual production, because it's all recorded to RMA. I would like to pay my taxes on my, as an example, I think I made $100,000 this year. Come back next year. Oh, I actually made $200, but since that's old news, we're going to slip it. We have the actual production data, and the actual acres are by July 15th, so why does the government keep guessing as to what's going on in the country?
So I'm having a little bit of a hard time hearing him, Scott, but I think the thrust of his question was, why not use real data, real historical data, rather than always reinventing or miscalculating or anticipating? Those are my words, not his. And I agree with him. In principle, I've been a strong advocate for the use of data that has been readily available, quite transparent, enough history that you should have a good, good trend lines. This is why I worked so hard.
The actual production that they're using to make government reports every month,
right,
and adjusting from 2 or 3 years ago, making adjustments. I'd rather die by the facts than live by the facts.
Yeah. Now, my question for you, Scott, would be, and we just don't have a great connection with you, would be, if you did that, then what are you suggesting in the way of how farmers, ranchers are compensated as a result of the impact from the trade debate. More after this. Don't go away.
The key to a strong home is a solid foundation, and that starts from the ground up. The team at Precision Concrete Cutters Ramjack North wants you to know that around here, seasonal changes cause soil to shift, ultimately leading to serious structural problems. One of the most common signs that your foundation is in need of stabilization is cracking in your walls or flooring. Let us help you protect your greatest asset. To learn more, go to ramjacknorth.com. That's ramjacknorth.com.
Celebrate today, or any day, with North Dakota Sweet Crude, Old Man Wider's 100-year-old smokehouse moonshine recipe. The smooth, premium, unrefined liqueur is the essence of North Dakota's rugged spirit. The perfect liqueur for family traditions, toasts, friends, or to share in front of a warm, intimate fire. Treat someone you know with a special day. And every day is special with North Dakota Sweet Crude. Ask for it by name at your local off sale or online at crudespirits.com.
When higher education and business become partners, great things happen. University of Mary's new Workforce Development Initiative was launched to help employers meet today's challenges to hire and keep great employees. From project management to customer service, information technology to vital soft skills, the University of Mary offers programs to fit your unique business needs. Take your business to the next level with customized employee education programs from the University of Mary. Discover more about this new initiative at umary.edu/workforce.
Hi, this is Scott Hennen. I often hear from mineral owners about the difficulty of managing their minerals and knowing whether or not they're being paid properly. Now there's a solution. MineralTracker.com. Designed and built by a team of oil and gas experts in Watford City, Mineral Tracker is a one-of-a-kind technology, revolutionizing the way mineral owners are managing their oil and gas interests. Sign up for a free trial now at 833-842-2924. Visit MineralTracker.com or email info@MineralTracker.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
GMC.com over the lifetime warranty. Still a 2018 Buick Regal, brand new one left. 2019 GMC Sierras and HDs, Sierra HDs, supplier priced in May. Find out more, SchwannBuickGMC.com.
Who's singing this famous Norwegian song here?
That would be Borknagar.
This came actually from one of our listeners.
Borknagar,
so.
Wasn't he one of the Muppets?
Yeah, he was a guy in the balcony. Yeah, I think he's up there.
Those two guys work for the Corps of Engineers.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of which, I probably have 100 texts saying, when in the world is the Corps of Engineers going to wake up? And actually, the president yesterday said that we are building the wall 400 miles, and he actually gave a shout-out to the great job the Corps is doing. Are they doing a good job, Senator Cramer?
You know, the problem is they're doing a good job compared to how they do other jobs. But that standard's so low that it's nothing to brag about. So, you know, every now and then the president and I disagree, and when it comes to the Corps of Engineers, we really disagree. I guess my question to the president would be, if the Corps of Engineers doing such a great job, would you have them build a, you know, ice skating rink in Central Park? You know, to quote another famous project that he's very familiar with. And, the other day I keep trying to get clarification on these two statements. We've built 41 miles of wall, we've built 82 miles of wall. They can't both be true, and yet they both come from the Corps of Engineers. And I did track down with Customs and Border Patrol finally. No, they've only built 41 miles of new wall, not 82, but the president, you know, that they built 82 miles.
Because the Corps told them they bought 80. The Corps told them that, and they also tell them they're going to build 400 miles. And if you do the math, as you said in your letter way back to Kirstjen Nielsen, that I was privileged enough to hand to the president, that it can't happen. Just do the math. It's like going back to a kindergarten. The train leaves at this time, and it travels this far, and here's what, it won't happen. It will not happen. So when does the wake-up call come?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's, I don't know. I don't know when it comes. What I worry about is that, you know, he also said we're going to build 400 miles, in the next, 18 months and maybe even more. And I keep, every day I look and it's still only 41 miles. So you can't get there not building. And the biggest challenge, in fairness to everybody, the biggest challenge is, in a lot of these cases, is acquisition of the land. And the Corps of Engineers is very good at that, as we know. They're very good at condemning. They've done that for decades. But there are also corridors that we already own. So anyway, I also wanted to give a little update here on the Okinawans and of course Guam. The Marine Corps, as you probably know, I think a lot of people know there are a lot of Marines out there, they've come up with a plan to sort of reduce their footprint to return about two-thirds of the land that's occupied by the Marines to the Okinawans. And in that process, they're going to have to draw down troops on the island by about half. We have somewhere around 20,000 now, and they draw it down to like 11,500 because the Okinawa is not, the Okinawan residents haven't been as welcoming, shall we say. So anyway, their Asia Pacific realignment is calling for 4,100 Okinawa based Marines to be relocated to Guam along with 900 others from elsewhere in the globe. So I won't go through all the rest of the details of it that have been sent to me, but this is what I was saying earlier, that Guam is friendly and well positioned. The Marines have started that process of planning to move some from Okinawa to Guam.
Tom Hazelton for Senator Kevin Cramer.
Yes. Thank you, Senator Cramer, for all you do for us in Washington and such. And my question would be, with the trade aid that we're trying to bridge with China, why wouldn't it be fair, to take an acre of productive land and treat it as an acre of productive land and do a certain amount of payment on that productive land instead of picking commodity like soybeans or corn or canola. And maybe a guy could give a buck or two to the cowboy, for an acre of pasture land.
Sure, or range land, yeah. Wow, Scott, now this is really out of the box, what he's just brought up, because... And some people would see that, of course, as well as a, somebody's ox is always gored, right? So we tend to always focus on commodities. You're exactly right. As opposed to the factory, the land, the productivity of the land, that would be another way to measure it. I'd never considered that. And my gut instinct is we have something else to put on the table to think about. There may be a reason not to do that. There might be an obvious automatic one that's not clear to me at the moment, but this is why I love this show.
Well, I, Senator, I, it would be such a simple program to implement. They could go down to the FSA when they report their acres. If Senator Kramer's got 2,000 acres of cultivated land, they've got all the information there. If I have 1,500 acres of cultivated land and I seed, whether I have alfalfa in or soybeans, it gets treated as an acre of land. They have all the records of your, it wouldn't make liars out of a bunch of us.
Well, and it does, you're right, and from a market distortion standpoint, if we want to eliminate that naming the commodity has a market distortion impact. I don't think there's any question about that, whereas this probably wouldn't.
Tom, hang on a second, if you would. I'll get your number. We'll connect you up any conversation could continue, because unfortunately we're out of time. Senator Kramer, have a great weekend.
Quickly, though, the fatal flaw in that was when he said it would be simple, and we can't do that.
This is Carol Jubin at Jubin Tours, inviting you to join us on South Pacific Wonders Tour in Australia and New Zealand, February 11 through 25. 14 days to explore some of the most exciting sights in Australia and New Zealand. Yes, they do speak English. This is an all-inclusive tour from Fargo or your home city airport. Call me at 800-343-0093, toll-free. Learn more about all of our tours and travel at an orientation night, Monday night, 6 p.m. at the Sons of Norway, 722 2nd Avenue North, Fargo. Everyone is welcome. For information on these tours and others, call me at 1-800-343-0093, and I will send you out brochures immediately. Jubin Tours, welcome along.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll-free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Many people believe they don't control their own destiny. Let them continue just getting by while you make the choice to do something about your future. Imagine working from home, earning the income you deserve. Just visit startlivingyoung.com and click on the Be Your Own Boss tab. Discover Jeunesse, a state-of-the-art global health company with over $1 billion a year in sales. They'll provide all the tools you need to succeed. Visit startlivingyoung.com today and click on the Be Your Own Boss tab. Your destiny awaits at startlivingyoung.com.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.